welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, the 24th of February, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at our fine website, buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings from 9 to 10, and then we re-air the program from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Shelton. Then we'll talk with former state lawmaker Phil Lopez. Mr. Lopez is helping to organize the Arizona Progressive Democrats. Then we talk with two freshman lawmakers from Tucson, Bruce Wheeler and Terry Proud. Plus, we have a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Council member Steve Kasachek. So it is a full agenda for us today on the Buckmaster Show, which is primarily driven by talk, but there is, of course, always room for listener comments and questions. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 529-3508. We welcome to the Buckmaster Show again, President of the University of Arizona, Robert Shelton. Dr. Shelton, good to see you.
Bill, thank you. You do indeed have quite a full agenda. I appreciate being on with all the rest of these important people.
Well, we have very important topics to discuss, and we will begin right away with the plan up at the state legislature to actually replace the Arizona Border Regents. And for folks who don't know what the Arizona Border Regents does, they in effect manage the three state universities.
That's correct. That's the board that I report directly to. They hire me, they fire me, and they manage our finances and the policies that we use to govern and guide the universities. I worry about this bill. It seems to have come out of thin air. I don't know how well considered it is. Certainly, we have very dedicated members on our board, and splitting it up into three boards would seem at this point to just increase the amount of administrative overhead that we have in running these three great universities.
So the bill would eliminate the current system of providing a set amount of aid for each university. Instead, the state would give a voucher to each student that schools would trade into the treasury for state aid.
Yeah, you know, vouchers have been tried in other states and been shown to be a failure, at least if you want to promote quality in higher education. They also don't recognize the very differential costs of certain disciplines. For example, think of our College of Medicine, the whole health affairs schools. Think of our land-grant mission, the extension services. We're in all 15 counties of the state of Arizona. So there are a lot of details that are very important that need to be examined and thought through before coming up with this sort of hatchet kind of broad approach.
The Arizona Board of Regents are created, I understand, by the Constitution, or am I wrong about that?
I think that's correct.
So the voters, in effect,
are a constitutional entity.
The voters would have to, this would have to be taken to the voters. Voters would have to sign off on this, I would think, before you could just dissolve the board.
You know, that's a good question. Yeah. I haven't looked at the Constitution, whether it says that there will be specifically one board or board writ more broadly than that. But I do know that the Board of Regents is a constitutional entity. You're exactly right on that.
And the state of Utah has a system, I guess, that where you have a state governing board for several universities up there. What do you know about that system?
Well, that kind of model is not uncommon. I mean, I came from a state that had 16 public universities in a system, and each one of those had its own board. They called them boards of trustees. So it isn't that the model can't work. Either of these models can work well. It's just that I'm not sure what problem they're trying to fix at the moment.
We're speaking with UA President Dr. Robert Shelton on the Buckmaster Show. Speaking of the Board of Regents, the Board of Regents has been very busy. They decided to maintain the raising the cap to 40% from 30% on the number of out-of-state undergraduate students that the universities are allowed to accept. Are you on board with that?
Yes, I think that was a good extension. The University of Arizona right now is right at 30% of out-of-state undergraduate students. We think having some flexibility in that number is good while we continue with our sister institutions to serve all the eligible students in the state of Arizona.
Do you think that the out-of-state students add a certain diversity to campus?
they definitely do that. You know, the education process for 18 to 22 or 23-year-olds comes in many forms. It comes in the classroom. It comes in sports and clubs. It comes in discussion sessions. And it also comes with interactions with students and faculty and students with other students. And so having a diverse population, students that have different world experiences than their mates, if you will, is really important. And that's what out-of-state students and international students bring into the classroom and to the campus of the University of Arizona. So it's a very important component, we think.
A million years ago, when I was a 17-year-old freshman at the University of Arizona and came out here from Chicago, I'll tell you, it was a real eye-opener to come out to the University of Arizona. But in the long run, I grew up very fast coming from the Chicago area out here. It was just such a different environment. I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I agree. And like any of these issues, it's a matter of balance, right? You don't want to go to one extreme or the other extreme. You want to find that right balance and that right mix. And I think having that flexibility to increase ever so slightly the out-of-state population is a good balance.
University leaders last week had an update to the Arizona Board of Regents on efforts to offer more low-cost degree programs. This is something that the regents have said they want. It's something that the governor has said that she would like to see. Where are we on that that effort?
Yeah, the University of Arizona is making tremendous strides. It's really what we call our Alternative Pathways program. It's being led by Mike Proctor. He's a vice provost. And what it does is reach out to communities locally and at a distance to ensure that degrees are offered with lower tuition costs, say going through UA South, going through one of the community colleges, but guaranteeing that the work that they're doing in those venues will transfer in and lead them to a high-quality University of Arizona bachelor's degree. Just a week or so ago, Roy Flores, the chancellor at Pima, and I signed an agreement that set aside 16 more degree pathways that students can take advantage of and know that their work leads to a bachelor's degree.
We have a call, so if you'd like to slip on that headset there, Preston Shelton, and we can adjust your volume right here. So tell us.
No, it's just right.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. Tony is a caller to the Buckmaster Show. Tony, go ahead with UA Preston Shelton.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Shelton, recently I saw an article saying that Harvard was allowing free admission or free tuition for highly qualified minorities that pass their entrance exam. What's your feeling on that, and what is your outreach program for, say, a district like TUSD where there's 75% people of color there? Your take on all that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Certainly, having a diverse student body is in the interest of everyone. It's good for the students, not only while they're in school, but good for their careers later on. When they're in a boardroom, they're going to sit down and see people that don't look like them, don't have the life experiences like them, and hopefully that makes the decisions in that boardroom that much stronger. We have a number of programs that are available, not targeted to minorities, but targeted to anyone in the socioeconomic strata that needs some financial assistance. Probably the signature one is the Arizona Assurance Program, and that's been very successful, but there are others. And they're working. One measure is the number of students that we have that are Pell eligible. These are federal grants for folks that need financial assistance. And we used to be around 20, 25, 28% of our incoming class Pell eligible. The last year it was 38%. So it's really working. We, of course, have a different fiscal profile than Harvard. They're a fantastic institution, but they usually have a lot more cash sitting around in their endowment than we do.
Preston Shelton, you mentioned the Arizona Assurance Program. It's been very successful, but of course with that success comes a need for more funds to support this public-private financial aid program at the U of A.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bill, and thanks for that opening. Our intent has not wavered from building a $100 million endowment to sustain this program. We've got about $12 million so far, which is pretty remarkable given the financial environment that we're in. The number of students continues to grow, and in fact, this May, we will graduate our first Assurance Scholar who's graduating in 3 years. We're also monitoring the program very carefully with our scholars in the department and the College of Education to understand how we can tweak it and make it even better, because the goal isn't just to bring these students. The goal is to graduate them, And so far, their first-year retention rate, their persistence rates are higher than students with the same kind of profile. But we want to make sure they all graduate, and that's part of the study that we're doing.
You know, as the state invests less in the university system, unfortunately, financial aid may have to be reduced a bit.
Yeah, this is a real worrisome factor. We've sustained $100 million in cuts from our state support, and I understand why the state is making cuts. They're fiscally strapped. They do seem to be cutting the universities at a higher percentage than other state organizations. But nevertheless, we've gone from $440 to $340 million. We're looking at another $67 million in the governor's budget. And when we get down to it, there are only two large pots of money we can deal with. One is salaries and benefits, and that means people, and the other one has to do with financial aid. We put $160 million in financial aid out last year. We don't want to cut that back, but we're looking at every possibility to see how we can continue to present viable degree programs for the university.
We have about three more minutes with President Shelton from the University of Arizona. The UA announced this week that Tucson will be the home to a new think tank called the National Institute for Civil Discourse. This will be housed, in effect, the U of A will be the home for this.
That's correct, Bill. We have some excellent space downtown that's been donated to us. We've already got financial support. Certainly, this is not coming out of state money or out of tuition dollars. This is coming out of private funds. And the goal here is to promote and help all sides of the political spectrum to engage in civil discourse. We're not going to referee anything. We're certainly going to be apolitical, as you can tell by the fact that the two top figureheads in this honorary advisory board are former Presidents Bush and Clinton. Colin Powell, I understand, has just agreed to join this group. And so it is a breadth across the entire political spectrum. I want to emphasize, too, that this in no way should be meant to imply that the tragic events on the 8th of January had to do with any political motivation. That's not it. What we're looking at is a broader question here, but we feel that Tucson, with the expertise we have and our ability to contact these nationally prominent figures from the right, from the left, from the middle, is the right place to house this institute. So we're very excited about it, and the planning is going apace.
There was a front page piece in the Arizona Republic this week that come next January, ASU is adding more courses that can be completed in half the time of a normal 15-week fall or spring semester. I guess at ASU, anyway, they'll be starting their traditional mid-January start now is going to be pushed up a week. Is that going to happen at the U of A, or are we going to continue with the way things are?
We will continue with our traditional semesters, but I want to emphasize that within that framework, there are a number of flexible activities. Many programs already offer half-semester course packets that you can complete. We also have a winter session between the end of fall and the beginning of spring semester. We have a week in the end of May where students can take classes, a couple of summer sessions. There's a lot of flexibility in the curriculum, and that flexibility is going to continue to grow. We have to keep in mind, overall, though, the quality of the University of Arizona degree cannot be denigrated one iota. And so whether we're compressing or extending classes, we're going to emphasize the quality of what students are getting in those classes.
We've only got about 30 seconds. We didn't even have a chance to get into tuition. There are so many items on the table today, but tuition, is it March that the Board of Regents, is that the next step here?
Their meeting on March 8th will be a discussion. That's a special meeting, and then the tuition setting meeting will be right here in Tucson at the U of A. So turn out. I'm sure we'll get a big crowd, and that will be in the first or second week in April.
Any inkling of how it's going to go?
Not at all. You know, we have nine voting regents plus the governor and the state superintendent, and they're all very independent-minded people.
Okay, Dr. Robert Shelton, president of the University of Arizona, thank you for spending a few moments with us, minutes with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks, Bill, for having me.
Thanks a lot. We're coming up on 21 minutes after the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Former state lawmaker Phil Lopez will be with me in studio. We're going to be talking about this movement for a new chapter of the Arizona Progressive Democrats. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Coming up now on about 24 and a half minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Well, local progressives held their first rally. As Rhonda Bonfield in the Arizona Daily Star reported, if the Tea Parties can do it, so can the progressives. Such was the message, as Rhonda writes, to some 300 progressives who filled the seats and lined the walls two rows deep at a Westside YWCA at the inaugural meeting of the Tucson chapter of the Progressive Democrats of America. We're going to be joined here in a few moments by Phil Lopez. Phil Lopez is a former state lawmaker who has, he's just walking in right now to the studio. Mr. Lopez, good to see you. I hope you're not out of breath.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay. It's live radio. Tell us about this, the local progressives. You were instrumental in organizing this event. How did it go the other night?
It went very well, much better than we expected. We had close to 300 people there. It was our inaugural event, our kickoff for the Progressive Democrats of America Tucson chapter. We started this last October, during the Raul Grijalva campaign. And we decided at that time, he's the co-chair of the Progressive Caucus in Congress. So we decided at that time that we needed to have a place where progressives in Arizona could have a voice.
And how do you define Arizona progressives?
We're Democrats, but we're what might be called aggressive Democrats, or we're the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. We have a strategy that's both inside the Democratic Party, because we want to push the Democratic Party toward more progressive issues. We're really a more issue-oriented group than we are an electoral group or a campaign group. So inside the Democratic Party, we want to push them, the party, to more progressive issues. We have six issues. Among them, in the occupation in Afghanistan, and redirect the funding. Medicare for all, single payer, is one of our six issues. The other is stop climate change, economic and social justice, and within that we have a core of people that are interested in the issue of income disparity. We'd like to address that whole issue of the growing disparity between the rich and poor in the U.S. and in Arizona. So we organize around those issues. Then the local chapters are able to focus on things that they're interested in. For example, clean and fair elections is one of the six issues that the progressives nationally are addressing. So we're going to take that, but focus it on clean elections in Arizona. Clean elections is being attacked. We want to save it.
Well, in the remaining 2 minutes with you, you served in the legislature how many years total?
8 years.
8 years, and you were termed out last time around.
Correct.
Have you ever seen what's going on at the legislature, as some would say, as bad as it's ever been?
Never, ever. I've lived in Arizona for 42 years.
We just had Dr. Shelton from the U of A on. We're talking about this move now to do away with the Arizona Board of Regents.
Yes, that's crazy.
Where they're talking about doing away with entirely access.
What's going on? Yeah. Well, I think it's the ideological hard right agenda. This is what they've never been supportive of the universities. They do not think the state ought to subsidize a university education. So because there's a lack of money, this is a way of pushing that issue that they really wanted to do all along.
I think universities are in huge trouble in this state.
They are. They're in big trouble. And how can you stop something that's such an economic engine as universities? And we owe it to, I mean, the Constitution says that we need to provide a university education as close to free as possible. We're nowhere near that. So this is an unconstitutional move. Russell Pierce, this
omnibus bill that really has everything that he's been hoping for the last 8 years is thrown in.
Absolutely. And the big question for everybody in Arizona is, what is Brewer's role in this? You know, is she going to veto some of this outrageous stuff? Or is she just going to go along with it?
All right. Former State Representative Phil Lopez, thank you very much for
joining us. You're welcome. I'm sorry I was late.
Oh, that's okay. You only missed about 15 seconds as I was ad-libbing there. We're coming up on 30 minutes past the hour, and we'll be back. We're going to talk to two freshman lawmakers, Terry Proud and Bruce Wheeler. That'll be interesting. Stay with us.
Something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. A terror suspect is under arrest in Texas. CNN's Gene Mazur says the 20-year-old Saudi national is charged with attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction.
According to law enforcement, he allegedly planned to target the home of former President George W. Bush, hydroelectric dams, nuclear power plants. A law enforcement source also says he was interested in trying to strike soldiers who had served in Abu Ghraib.
Americans who want to get out of Libya won't be able to leave until tomorrow. A ferry boat remains in Tripoli because of bad weather. There might be a vote this afternoon on a controversial budget-cutting bill in Wisconsin. State workers are protesting the plan that would limit their collective bargaining rights and raise their contributions to pensions and health insurance. Toyota is recalling over 2 million vehicles because of problems that can cause gas pedals to get stuck in floor mats. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Hi, Mrs. Miller. I have the cookies you ordered.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, you have 5 boxes of Snacker Bobbles, 3 Little Yummers, and your total is $0.
You mean they're free?
Yep, they're free.
Well, it's a pleasure doing business with you.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software in America. Visit TurboTax.com today. Trusted brand claim based on Intuit Commission Survey, August 2010.
The Home Depot guarantees the lowest total price on your carpet project. Others may offer free Stainmaster installation, but don't buy it. Add up their total charges and you're in for some serious carpet burn. With exclusive Martha Stewart living carpet and a lifetime stain warranty, you'll see how we've lowered the cost of buying carpet with confidence. Thanks to the lowest total price on your carpet project, guaranteed every day. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Coming up on 35 minutes past the hour, this is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. We're live 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, here on KJLL. The program repeats at 7 to 8 in the evening, and of course, we're always on the BuckmasterShow.com website. We're going to check in now at the state capitol with two freshman lawmakers from Southern Arizona, Democrat Bruce Wheeler from District 28, former city councilman in Tucson, and actually former state lawmaker Bruce Wheeler, who's now back at the legislature, and Republican Terry Proud from District 26. Terry and Bruce, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Good morning.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's begin with Terry Proud. Terry, how is it going, your freshman, so far, your first few weeks on the job, first couple months there at the legislature?
Oh, it's going great. I'm exhausted, though. It's a lot of work.
Are you introducing some bills that you are very excited about?
I am introducing a couple of bills that I'm excited about. And being a freshman, they're not too controversial, which I like to keep it that way. I'm introducing a women's veterans special plate. Being on the Military Affairs and Public Safety Committee, it was brought to my attention about the amount of women veterans we have in the state of Arizona that are homeless, and a lot of them have young children. So that's one of the bills I'm introducing. Another one is a domestic review team. What they do is they review cases that have to do with domestic violence, and we're just implementing a little blurb in there stating that anything that has been fatal or near fatal regarding domestic violence, we're going to they're going to be allowed to review those cases too. So they're small bills, but they're good.
Let's bring in Democrat Bruce Wheeler from District 28. Bruce, when did you serve at the was it in the early 90s?
Hey, Bill, you said you wouldn't pick on me. That was 36 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, he doesn't look it.
36
Thank you, Terry.
36 years ago, you must have been right out of high school.
Actually, I was right 2 years out of college, to be honest with you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how have things changed for you?
Well, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers in those days, so I'm really aging myself. But, you know, also as a 26-year-old legislator, I was very certain of things were black and white. There was no gray. Obviously, after 8 years on the council and raising two sons and going through life, life is more either complicated or beautiful. Actually, if there's more diversity, there's a greater understanding now. And I'm trying to work on relationships. I think there's some really wonderful Republicans, and you know, I get along well with Terry, and I think it's important to build relationships across the aisle and get some worthwhile, meaningful legislation passed.
I read in Rhonda Bodfield's column on Sunday, Bruce, that you have decided not to be the primary sponsor so far on any bills. Are you sort of waiting a while, or what are you doing there?
Yeah, my feeling on that bill is that I'm going to wait until next year to introduce some legislation, and I'm trying to gauge because, quite frankly, Democrats are such a minority. You know, I don't want to be irrelevant. And I think to be relevant, I want to introduce legislation that I can work with Republicans with to pass. And so, for instance, I serve on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Frank Pratt from Pinal County is the chairman. And, you know, I've been meeting with him and talking to him and working on what sort of energy or solar energy legislation we might be able to pass in a bipartisan manner next year. So my strategy is this year work on relationships and next year introduce incremental legislation that actually stands a chance to pass. And then if we there's a good chance with redistricting that, you know, everything's going to change in 2012, and if Democrats take over, which sounds laughable now, but I don't think it's out of the question, then be in a position after the election of 2012 to implement some meaningful and structural changes in legislation.
Let's bring Terry Proud in here. Terry, some of the Democrats are saying too much emphasis has been placed on issues like weapons and social engineering issues, immigration. Do you feel it's the right mix right now, or should the budget actually have more of a priority?
You know, I think that what a lot of people don't see, and this is what I've learned being a freshman legislator, is that the media has the opportunity to play it out however they want to. If they want the public to think that we are just focusing on gun laws, then that's all they're going to report about. But to tell you the truth, we're all working on the budget. We're having meetings once a week on the budget. So we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. And, of course, you know, you still have committees, you still have bills that need to be passed, and we are working on those, too. But, you know, part of this job is being able to pass good legislation and work on the budget, and that is our focus. That's a big concern for everybody here, and we are working on that. Unfortunately, it's not being reported that way.
Earlier in the hour, Terry, we were interviewing UA President Dr. Robert Shelton. He's very concerned about the move to do away with the Arizona Board of Regents. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's to comment on that, this is how I feel. We're in a very tight situation right now in the state of Arizona, and we are all going to have to make some sacrifices. And we're every single one of us are feeling the crunch. Every business, every organization, every constituent out there is feeling the crunch of what's going on, and not just this state, but across our nation right now. So there are going to be some tough decisions that we're going to have to make. And, you know, some of them are going to be okay. Some of them are not going to be okay. Those are sacrifices. But, you know, I see the budget as I do my own budget. If I'm spending more than what I'm making, then I need to make some cutbacks. And, you know, I can tell you that I'd like to see more of the communities get involved and start helping instead of relying so much on the state, especially during this time. Because if we cannot balance this budget, it's going to be it really is going to get a lot worse.
Bruce Wheeler, what about this move to abolish access? That I guess moved out of committee yesterday.
Yeah, one of the major differences between when I served originally and now is the ideology that has gripped the majority party. Getting rid of the Board of Regents, cutting 280,000 people from access, all the sacrifices seem to be on the at the feet of. Of students, of residential homeowners with taxes. The majority just passed a so-called jobs bill that's going to add $538 million to the deficit, and that's going to be paid for by cuts to education and cuts to health and human services. 90% of our budget is education, corrections, and public health, and the only one of those three categories that is going to have an increase in budget is, guess what, corrections. So we're building private prisons for profit. We're closing schools. We're having increased classroom sizes. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee has identified almost $10 billion in tax loopholes. My friend and colleague, Representative Steve Farley, has identified several glaring examples, one of which is the tax exemption on 4-inch pipes. And companies that buy those pipes don't pay any sales tax at a cost of over $18 million to the state of Arizona and lost revenue opportunities. There is room to change the tax code and the tax structure, but those fundamental changes are not going to occur until the Democrats take the leadership position.
We have Democrat Bruce Wheeler from District 28 on the Buckmaster Show live line, and Republican Terry Proud from District 26. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, some of what he might have said regarding the budget, I can agree with. There is a 90% of the budget that has to do with education and with DOC. I'm not happy with the fact that we will be spending money on a DOC, and I don't plan to promote that. I think that is wrong. So that I do agree with Mr. Wheeler. However, the only thing that they present is 4-inch pipes, corporate loopholes, and there's nothing else specifically. I mean, that's not going to solve our budget problem. So there needs to be more cuts in order to solve the budget problem. And just saying we need to eliminate 4-inch pipes is going to just solve the whole problem of the state debt is a little far-fetched to me. But that's all they got.
Less than a minute to go. Bruce Wheeler, go ahead quickly.
Well, like I said, Joint Legislative Budget Committee is a nonpartisan group at the legislature that works for both Republicans and Democrats, and they've identified almost $10 billion, with a B, $10 billion in tax loopholes that benefit special interests who have lobbied to have tax breaks and don't pay their fair share of taxes. And so the added cuts are going to affect students and residential homeowners, and I think that's a fundamental issue that needs to be addressed instead of debating wedge issues like the 14th Amendment and other things that are before the legislature.
Terry Proud, we'll give you the last 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I think the 14th Amendment is and the 10th Amendment is very crucial. I mean, we wouldn't have to incur half the debt that we had the federal government stayed out of our state. But, you know, right now they're mandating that we spend money that we don't have. And so those are important issues, absolutely. We need to take our state back, and we need to be able to handle our own budget without the federal government telling us how to run our state. And so that is a vital issue, and it, you know, we need to have that.
Okay, Terry Proud, Republican from District 26. Bruce Wheeler, Democrat from District 28. Bruce serving after a long absence back at the Capitol. Thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank,
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill, and nice talking with you too, Terry.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 46 minutes past the hour, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek is next on the Buckmaster Show Live Line.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub. It's 49 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. Earlier this week, Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup announcing he will not be seeking a fourth term. Walkup's Republican colleague on the council is Steve Kasachek, who joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Councilman Kasachek, good to talk with you.
Bill, same here. First of all, I don't want to miss a chance to congratulate you on your award last Saturday night, the Addy. It was well-deserved and long time coming, and I was happy to be there. Sorry I couldn't find you in the crowd afterwards, but I wanted to make sure I got a chance to congratulate you on that.
Thank you so much. That Golden Mike trophy is very impressive, and as you saw Saturday night, it's actually gold.
Yep, and you deserve it, and it's been a long time coming, and I guess maybe it's just between you and me, we can say he who laughs last laughs best. Huh?
There you go. Mayor Walkup, how will he be remembered? What will his legacy be, or is that still very much a fluid situation?
I think when people leave office, it takes a long time for legacies to develop. I think to just with a knee-jerk reaction, make a decision on that. I think we're going to have to look in the rearview mirror down the road. I mean, people certainly look at some of our presidents much differently years after the fact than what they did as soon as they left office. That's not a dodge, but my initial feelings are that some of the mayor's best days were some of his most recent days. We just had a very tragic event in this community, January 8th, And he was front and center in drawing this community together. And quite frankly, I'm very proud of this community. You think of Oklahoma City and you think of Waco, Texas, and you think of tragic events. I'm hoping that based on some of the actions that the mayor took and some of the rest of my colleagues on the council took at some of the memorials and in front of cameras and on microphones, that when people think of Tucson, Arizona, across the country, they will think of a community that came together, and one which I know I am very proud to be a member of. And the mayor was a part of that, delivering that message, not just locally, but nationally, and in fact, internationally. I was with him outside of UMC a couple of nights, literally at midnight, and he was on BBC and Al Jazeera Radio and delivering the message that Tucson is united and Tucson has a lot to be stand up and be proud of. And so I hope that that's what people remember him for, the guy that stood up for this community when some other people wanted to kick us while we were down.
Yeah, I think his big push to promote civility, that initiative that he has pushed with the U.S. Conference of Mayors, is certainly something that we should pat him on the back about.
That's right.
Let's talk about water rates. Piece in the Arizona Daily Star, I guess did the council go on record approving a plan yesterday that would include water rate hikes?
Well, they advanced it, and the reason I say they is because I voted against it, and let me explain quickly why I voted against it. The Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA, imposes a half-cent sales tax on the residents of the community, and those dollars are supposed to go for road improvements. Originally, a part of that money was supposed to be allocated to utilities. So, for instance, when we widen Grant Road, if we have to move water mains, the RTA tax was supposed to cover that main replacement, that main relocation. The Tucson Water presented us a financial plan yesterday that included $40 million in bond indebtedness, principally for main replacements and for main relocations. My sense was that the citizens are already paying the RTA tax. The RTA unilaterally made the decision to exempt main relocations from what they're funding. And I just didn't think it was right to ask the ratepayers to take an increase in their water rates for something the RTA tax should already be covering. It troubles me that there's not the political will to stand up to the RTA or to some of the other players in that decision and just say no. But that's the reason I voted against it. The short answer to your question is yes. The rate, there will be a public hearing. I think it's in 30 days. I'm not sure the exact date. But the public will have a chance to come and weigh in on it. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that the smaller jurisdictions weren't crying foul when this shift was made. Because the citizens of Tucson, we've got, 600,000 people. That same RTA cost shift applies to all of the other PAG members. So that would be Marana and Oro Valley and Green Valley and Sarita. We're in a better position to fund those utility costs than those other jurisdictions are. So I'm hoping that my vote yesterday will at least kickstart some opposition to some of the cost shifting that's going on.
The RTA executive director Gary Hayes is quoted in the Rob O'Dell piece in the Star this morning as saying, though, that the utility work was never part of the RTA plan. He says it never went before the voters from day one. Utility location was never to be part of the plan.
Right. I read that, and before the meeting, I did my homework. I talked with the city attorney and our city attorney, who is explicitly an expert in the water area. And he said that, in fact, it was included, and it was a cost shift that was unilaterally made by the RTA. It's interesting to me that you read also in the Star week after week allegations that the RTA is short on funds and projects are behind schedule or being delayed for one reason or another. Then the RTA comes out and says, no, we're flush with cash. Well, if one of the reasons that they're flush with cash is that they're cost-shifting $40 million in bond indebtedness to the Tucson ratepayers, then I think that's wrong.
Let's talk a little bit about downtown. I was at the Fox Theater, and so were you on Saturday night. It was good to see a good turnout downtown, and I was surprised. A lot of the restaurants downtown are doing very well. There seems to be an energy down there.
I agree. In the last 18 months, we've had almost $120 million worth of private sector money invested just in the downtown area. And I would invite anybody to go down. In fact, join us on the second Saturday of next month, because we have an event called Second Saturdays, that is thousands and thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, thousands and thousands of people up and down Congress and on the streets articulating with Congress. And there are street shows and live music, and the Fox always has an event going on. Hotel Congress has events going on all up and down that area. And so you're absolutely right. There is a buzz going on downtown, and I'm happy to be a part of it, and I would invite people to come down. It is a misnomer that there's no parking. It's a misnomer that the place is dead. In fact, you will be surprised, your listeners will be surprised, if you come down next second Saturday and join in the activities, because there's a lot happening.
The Tucson Convention Center, is that what's the latest on the upgrade there?
We just had a council meeting yesterday, and the motion that I made coming out of it was to encourage the Rio Nuevo Board to agree on our term sheets. Those are the governance items that we have between the City of Tucson and Rio. But a part of that was also to take $3 million right now and allocate it to upgrades to the TCC. We have some guidance issues, we have roof issues, we have code issues at the TCC. One of the things that the Auditor General's report said was that the Tucson Convention Center was supposed to always have been the primary component of the Rio Nuevo investments. So given that, given the fact that we have some money sitting there, $3 million, I'm advocating that the Rio Nuevo Board and the City of Tucson join forces right now. That the differences that we still have aside, and put that $3 million into the convention center.
Republican Steve Kasachek is on the Buckmaster Show live line. We were talking earlier in the show with some state lawmakers, Terry Proud and Bruce Wheeler, and we're talking a lot about issues up there that are directed. Some of them should make folks on city councils like you very nervous.
I am so glad you gave me a chance to talk about this. It just strikes me as gross hypocrisy when I hear people from the state legislature talking about the 10th Amendment, and they will scream like stuck pigs when the federal government preempts state decision-making opportunities. And yet you see coming out of the state limits on staffing and salaries, and they want us to bid out services, not counting public safety. They want to roll back agency regulations, which would include solid waste and hazardous waste and child care and dog and horse racing water. They want to tell us how to hire and fire the city manager, and they're talking about preemptive gun legislation and how we should run the budget. So my sense is that I'm glad that Ms. Proud says that they're focusing on the budget. Maybe they ought to focus a little bit less on how we operate the city of Tucson, and they wouldn't have quite the troubles they have in balancing a $2 billion deficit they've got up north. But I am absolutely ticked off at a lot of the preemptive legislation that we see coming out of Phoenix, and we as a council have taken a position that across the board, when the state legislature passes something that preempts our local decision-making ability, we're just going to come out and say no, and we're going to dig our heels in on, and we have done it on piece of legislation one after another,
all
and
right.
I'm going to continue to do that.
Thank you so much, Steve Kasachek. Have a great day.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show, and that will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330. And please check out our website, www.buckmastershow.com. Have a great day.
KJLL, South Tucson.